at verse 24. Wherefore God also gave them up. Again, that's the feature of God's wrath that we're dealing with here in Romans 1. He gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. So we come to the part of the cycle of sexual immorality, which is a reason for God's judgment, and it is also an aspect of God's judgment. He just gives them up to where their heart's lust will take them. That, of course, brings more reasons for God to judge. And that's the whole cycle here in Romans chapter 1. When we think of sexual immorality in verse 24, we're mostly dealing with adultery and fornication, and we've gone through the same act, but different, the different aspects of adultery and fornication, different parties associated with the two. But both adultery and fornication are the result of our sinful hearts, and he alludes to that, uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts. Not the lust of someone else's heart, the lusts of their own hearts. We saw last week that adultery and fornication, of course, is destructive. We see that in the book of Proverbs. We see it illustrated in many ways throughout the Word of God. And certainly if you open your eyes and look around, you see it illustrated all around you. It's destructive. It's draining upon finances. See that in Proverbs 6, verse 26. We also see it probably most clearly through the example of the prodigal son. That once again, you look around today, people we know, adultery and fornication will drain finances, put you in a financial bind, maybe for your entire life. Adultery and fornication brings dishonor upon one's person. Notice in Proverbs chapter 6, verses 32 and 33. But whoso committeth adultery with a woman, and you can turn it around also, lacketh understanding. He that doeth it destroyeth his own soul. Brings destruction into his life, brings dishonor. A wound in dishonor shall he get, and his reproach shall not be wiped away. In other words, it's lasting. There are lasting consequences. All sin has consequences. God in his mercy, God in his grace, sometimes delivers us from the consequences it could have been. But there are consequences. And there are consequences to adultery and fornication. It's also ensnaring. It brings a trap into one's life. And again, we see this illustrated throughout the Word of God. But again, if we look around, we see it everywhere. We see people have, due to adultery and fornication, they're ensnared. And life just isn't easy for them. In Proverbs chapter 23, Proverbs 23, and verse 27. For a whore is a deep ditch. A deep ditch. Not easy to get out of. And a strange woman is a narrow pit. Many are stuck in a very deep ditch. That's where they live. Due to their own sins. And there have been people, and there are people, who have committed adultery and fornication. They didn't set out that day to do that, but they did. It happened. And again, people will say all the time, I didn't mean for it to happen. And that may be so. That may be so. But that doesn't do away with the consequences of such. And again, it's ensnaring. It's ensnaring. It's degrading and shameful. Jeremiah, if we turn over there, Jeremiah 5. And verse 8, again, this is the cycle of sexual immorality. Well, verse 7, thy children have forsaken me and sworn by them that are no gods. When I had fed them to the full, they then committed adultery and assembled themselves by troops in the harlots' houses. So that was... this here is willful. They were as fed horses in the morning. Everyone neighed after his neighbor's wife. That's part of the sexual immorality. Everyone neighed after his neighbor's wife. And we've tried to stress the last 2 weeks, her husband, his wife. And that's the bounds that God has set. Adultery and fornication impairs the mind. Notice in Hosea chapter 4 and verse 11. Hosea 4, verse 11. Whoredom and wine and new wine take away the heart. Takes away the mind. So, from all of this, we see the violation of the marriage bed through the lust of depraved man leads to all sorts of issues, all sorts of problems. And we come to Romans chapter 1 and we now have a cycle of sexual immorality. In other words, there's a continuance of violating the marriage bed. And what this does, and we see it here in Romans 1, what this does is eventually, if you continue long enough in any sin, we're dealing with sexual immorality or impurity. You continue long enough in any sin, and if a society continues long enough in any sin, you eventually become an amoral society. Immersion in immorality leads to amorality. And though there is some common ground between immorality and immorality, they're not the same. They're different. We are an amoral society. There's no question about that. We are an amoral culture. It's part of this cycle. It's really worse than immorality. But where there is immorality, there is, you can be sure, there's much immorality. So there is a distinction. Not all immorality is amoral. But all amorality is immoral. So you have rampant immorality. And rampant immorality leads to amorality. And amorality leads to more and more immorality. It's a cycle. And again, that's what we see here in Romans chapter 1. Immorality is the failure to conform to God's standards and principles of morality. Any violation of God's principles of morality is immoral, is immorality. Now we realize the world does not think that way, and the reason the world does not think that way is because they're immoral. But the truth is, any violation of God's standard of purity, which again is husband and wife, any violation of that is immorality. Now, amorality is a lack of moral sense and understanding of morals. Big difference. You can commit an act of immorality and immediately feel guilty, feel dirty, and you confess and you say, "Lord, forgive me." You've committed immorality, but you feel this guilt. But an amoral person doesn't see anything wrong with it. Big difference. Doesn't see a thing wrong with it. They have no moral compass. That's where we are today. How did we get there? Same way any society gets there, is a continuance in immorality. You continue long enough, you become hardened to it. It becomes the norm. It becomes the custom. It's what everybody's doing. Everybody does it. There's nothing wrong with it. That's an amoral society. And that's why you can sit down with people today and you can show them this is wrong. But they don't see it. They don't see it. They have no understanding of God's standards. And what's that going to lead to? It's going to lead to more immorality. And more immorality leads to more amorality. Again, it's a horrible cycle for a nation or a society to be caught in. So amorality is basically having no moral standards, or very, very few. Having no moral restraints or principles. No moral restraints whatsoever. It's like this is my right to live in adultery and fornication. It's an unawareness. It's an indifference toward God's principles. Again, you can talk to someone, you can show them this is wrong. And they say, "I don't see anything wrong with it." They're amoral. They're amoral. They're in serious trouble. It's apathy concerning questions of right or wrong. And if you're in amorality long enough, pretty soon there is no right or wrong. There's no compass. There's no standard. Amorality is, of course, immoral, the result of prolonged and persistent immorality. So amorality is worse than immorality in the sense that it is the advanced stage of immorality. That is where we are as a society. That is where we are here in Romans 1:24. You are in an advanced stage of immorality. Now, immorality, amorality, have existed since the fall. It's not like we're the first society that has reached amorality. Many societies throughout history have become amoral. But we're dealing with something even greater. We're in the last days when things get worse and worse. So amorality just gets worse. And again, we just can't stress it enough. People have no moral compass. I don't think it's wrong, therefore it's not wrong. You may think it's wrong, and then it's wrong for you, but I don't see it as wrong. So therefore, it's not wrong for me. That's where we are today. That's an amoral society. That is the result of God turning a people over to their own fleshly desires. And then when they commit amorality or immorality, that leads to further reason for God's judgment. And again, you're in this cycle that is going to lead to ruin. A good example of amorality is Judges 21:25. In those days, there was no king in Israel. That is, there was no authority in Israel. What was the result? Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And today, people will violate the marriage bed and see nothing wrong with it. They will violate the marriage bed during marriage, that's adultery. They will do it before marriage, that's fornication, and they see nothing wrong with it. Nothing whatsoever. There are parents who see nothing wrong with it in their children or their grandchildren. Or they might give it some lip service. Well, we don't approve, but you help them out in every way possible. You just give a little lip service. We're in an amoral society. And I'm not, please don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that we're not to give help to people, but you better be careful that your help is not taken as an approval of what they've done. Better be careful. And you better be careful that your help does not feed the problem. There are a lot of problems that are being fed today. A lot of the millennials today it's fed. It's been created. It's been created by parents. Parents will sit back and say, can you believe these millennials? Can you believe this X generation? Can you believe it? Well, parents, look in the mirror. Because a lot of it's been fed and created by parents. And it continues to be fed. You've got your son or your daughter's 30 years old and you're still paying their phone bill. You're feeding the problem. You're creating a problem. Well, I just wish they'd grow up. Get out of the way. And they might. They might not. But get out of the way. Again, I've got off course here. An amoral society and culture is one in which right and wrong are categories with no real meaning. And people even say, well, what's right? What's wrong? In other words, those two words mean nothing to them. That's an amoral society. In an amoral society and culture, biblical absolutes are done away. People can't stand today to hear the Bible quoted. Well, the Bible says that's wrong. Well, you see, in their mind, biblical absolutes mean absolutely nothing. There is no such thing. They're done away with. So people just do what's right in their own eyes, and they establish their own standards. So you have immorality leading to amorality, and amorality begins to establish their own standards, and really which is no standards. So an amoral society and culture, remember we spent a lot of time on humanism. And an amoral society and culture is the result of humanism, which is atheistic and evolutional in its thinking. It leads to individualism, which again just feeds this amoral society. In an amoral society or culture, people have lost sight of, or they are completely ignorant of, again, biblical absolutes. The result is the mind is polluted with perverted and anti-God philosophies and ideas, and everything is relative or subjective. Which brings us to relativity and subjectivity. Relativity is, again, the absence of standards. Subjectivity means that standards are based upon personal feelings, personal opinions, personal circumstances. Circumstances determine what's sexually pure, what isn't. Someone says, my wife doesn't treat me right, or my husband doesn't treat me right. Therefore, I have the right to go beyond the marriage bed. That's subjectivity. It's an excuse. And again, the cycle just continues. As long as you excuse behavior, that behavior goes into a, whatever the behavior is, it goes into a cycle. And that cycle is hard to break. So when immorality is practiced for an extended period of time, the result is a comfort is developed with such, and it becomes the norm. Sexual impurity, Romans 1:24. Sexual impurity, there has been a comfort developed with it with a lot of people. And it becomes the norm. And it is the norm today. It is not the norm today for husband and wife to be faithful to one another throughout marriage. That's not the norm. That's sad. It's not the norm. It's not the norm to abstain until you're married. That's not the norm today. Again, you get in this cycle, and pretty soon, sin, whatever the sin is, we're dealing with sexual impurity, becomes normal. We're getting to that stage, if we haven't already, in the minds of many, with homosexuality. It becomes the norm. You're in a lot of trouble when sin becomes the norm, whatever the sin is. So it becomes the norm, so much so that one has no conviction or guilt concerning it. I've had people tell me, well, Brother Dan, the Holy Spirit hasn't convicted me that it's wrong. Well, that doesn't really surprise me. It's shameful. But when they say that, they've said a mouthful. They basically admitted that they're not saved. And again, a lot more problems. So society and culture are inundated with the message of sexual immorality. Hollywood sees nothing wrong with it. Advertisers see nothing wrong with it. Because we're in an amoral society. And that's illustrated here in Romans 1. Continual rejection of God leads to immorality. And immorality leaves a society in ruins. And there aren't any examples in the Word of God that I can recall where they recover. You get again to a point of no return. A society filled with what you have in an amoral society is you have a society filled with broken marriages. You tell people today that you've been married 25 years, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, 60 years. They're shocked. I mean, absolutely floored. Some might even ask, well, why? We're in an amoral society. These things are not the norm. But when you have a society filled with broken marriages, you have the disintegration of family. Amen. And where you have the disintegration of family, you have a society that is filled with troubled children, and you have an epidemic of mental and emotional problems. We hear more today about mental and emotional problems than we've ever heard in our entire life. People say, well, we're just becoming more understanding. Perhaps that is a small part. The truth is, there are more emotional and mental problems than in the past, and the reason is because of immorality. The reason is because of sin. These things are going, when a child has, don't even really know who their parent is, they have so many, and so many other problems, in the future, there's going to be some emotional problems. And what's really sad is most of the population's living the same way, so who do these people go to? They have all these emotional problems, and they go to someone who's got just as many problems as they do, or more. So how does it get fixed? Society can't fix it. Only God. Only God. But this is where we are today, and there's going to be. I mean, there's emotional and mental problems everywhere today. It's going to get worse. It's going to get worse and worse and worse because it is a result of this dysfunction. The dysfunction of an amoral society. And don't be so ignorant to say, well, I committed adultery and fornication, but my children aren't affected by it. Don't be a fool. There's going to be problems emotionally, all sorts of problems. And again, as we've said in the past, we have problems that we've never had before. And there's going to be problems that we don't even know about yet. It all goes back to sin. Let's look to the Lord. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you, Lord, for the clarity of your word. Help us, Lord. Just help us. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.